This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
ذي الحجة شهر ذي الحجة 1445 الموافق ل 13 من شهر جون 2024 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك كتاب الله عز وجل أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. So last week we talked about the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحِي أَنْ يَضْرِبَ مَثَلًا مَا بَعُوضَةً فَمَا فَوْقَهَا فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَيَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّهُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فَيَقُولُونَ مَاذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِهَذَا مَثَلًا يُضِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَيَهْدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَمَا يُضِلُّ بِهِ إِلَّا الْفَاسِقِينَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the only one who is being misguided is the fasiq. Yeah? Is the fasiq. Who is the fasiq? A dissolute. والفسق والخروج عن الطاعة. This ayah is talking about everyone who qualifies this, you know, attitude and behavior. And some scholars said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to Khawarij here. However, the ayah, when it was revealed, Khawarij were not there. Right? Yeah, to say that the ayah is talking to Khawarij, is talking about Khawarij, this is wrong because Khawarij were not there when the ayah was revealed. We know Khawarij, right? Those people who went against the authority, right? And fought the Muslim community. So for sure they were included because they also went against the ta'ah, right? So the ayah is general. It includes anyone who is committing disobedience against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or not being obedient to the leaders, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, we should obey them, right? He says, when whoever obeys the leader definitely obeys me, and whoever obeys me obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the meaning of fisq is to go against, to go out of something, right? To go against the ta'ah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is called fisq. Just like the way the Arab says, فَسَقَتُ الرُّطَبَ إِذَا خَرَجَتْ مِنْ قِشْرَتِهَا. Yeah, when you have fruits that went out of the skin, it said فَسَقَتْ because of that خُرُوج. And وَالْفَاسِقُ فِي اللُّغَةِ الْخَارِجُ عَنِ الطَّاعَةِ. In the language, when they say fasiq, they're talking about the one that goes against ta'ah. Is that clear, inshallah? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he called al-fa'ra. What is al-fa'ra? Rat. He called it fasiqa. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called fa'ra fasiqa. لخروجها عن حجرها للفساد. You know, because rat goes out of the hole, right? To do what? To do fasad, to destroy things. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called it fasiqa. In a hadith when he says, خَمْسٌ مِنَ الدَّوَابِ كُلُّهُنَّ فَوَاسِقْ يُقْتَنَّ فِي الْحِلِّ وَالْحَرَمْ. There are five types of animals. Wherever you see them, you kill them. Whether in haram or out of haram, it doesn't matter. And he called them fasiq. Fasiq means because they go out of the normal, you know, life to the life of harming others. Right? So anyone that is mentioned here by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qualifies that evil behavior. Al-Ghurab. You know. Al-Ghurab. Ghurab. You know Ghurab, right? The crow. You know. It's so fasiq because it steals. Yeah. Sell bayid, laham, you know. Those simple things that people will keep, the Ghurab will come and take it and run away with it. Yeah. And wal-hada'a or al-hida'a. What is that? This is a falcon. The family of that, you know, one of them is called al-hada'a. Saqar. Hada'a. Yeah, no. It has a shaheen. These are all the name of that family. Eagle and the sea. These are all that family. That one also, wherever you see it, you kill. Wal-aqrab. And the scorpion. Wherever you see it, you kill. Yeah. Wal-fa'ra. And the rat. Wherever you see it, you kill it. Well, kalb al-aqur, and the mad dog. You get it? The mad dog. Yeah. From this, the scholar said, anything that has the same behavior, you get the lion also is included here. You see a lion, you kill. If somebody asks you why, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, wal kalb al-aqu. But that one in the forest, not the one in there. You go to the zoo and take qala Rasulullah, you go to jail. Yeah, no, that's in the forest, you know. You meet a lion attack you, what do? You just wait. Yeah, that's in the Western community, not in our community. In our community, human beings have value. Yeah? In their community, human beings not have value. Yeah? Animals have more value. Remember the gorilla that somebody killed? Not very long, you know. The gorilla was going to attack a kid, right? Somebody shot it, yeah. And people are crying, you know. So much, how did he? Why this guy said, I don't know. And they think they're okay, you know. In Islam, even if all the animals on earth will be gone, for one human being to survive, it has to do like that, yeah. You get it? Yeah. Animals, all of them, they have no value of one human being. You know, we respect animals, we protect them. But when we have to compromise something, we choose them to go, not human being. So, والكلب العقور والفاسق يشمل الكافر والعاصي ولكن فسق الكافر أشد وأفحش. When I say fasiq, it includes kafir and also Al-Asi, a Muslim who is committing the Masiyah. Both of them are fasiq. But the fisq of kafir is worse. But both of them are fasiq. Is that clear? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ يَنْقُذُونَ عَهْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مِيثَاقِهِ وَيَقْطَعُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَنْ يُوصَلَ وَيُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. So all of these are sifat al-munafiqeen, the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned earlier, right? Sifat al-munafiqeen, the one that mentioned. يَنْقُذُونَ عَهْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مِيثَاقِهِ وَيَقْطَعُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَنْ يُوصَلَ وَيُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ أُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. One of their behaviors is that يَنْقُذُونَ عَهْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مِيثَاقِهِ. You know, any promise between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they destroyed. Which one is the first promise between us and Allah? When does that happen?
Before the creation.
Before our existence in this form. Yeah, before the creation or creation. Even us also, we do exist, but in the form of alam al-dhar, right? Yeah. Everyone is there at the back, taken to the back of his father, you know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَىٰ. Everyone says yes. شَهِدْنَا أَن تَقُولُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَمَةِ إِنَّا كُنَّا عَنْ هَذَا غَافِلِينَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we witnessed this moment. Everyone says, including the kuffar, all of these criminals who are doing whatever they are doing, you know, killing others, and don't let anyone, you know, relax in this dunya. All of them agree that they will be worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we witness this. And تَقُولُوا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ لِأَلَّا تَقُولُوا. So that nobody will come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ and say, إِنَّا كُنَّا عَنْ هَذَا غَافِلِينَ. We don't know about anything about this. However, on the day of judgment, are we together? Yeah. On the day of judgment, the hisab is on what? Is it going to be on this? Hazik, do you remember the time you said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will worship you alone? The one, you know, Muhammad, Asfar. I'm pretty sure also the sisters don't remember that, right? Nobody remembers this. Yeah, that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not hold a person responsible of this promise. Yeah, because we forgot. Yeah, nobody remembers this. You get it? But it is there in our fitrah that we will be worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If nothing distracts us, we're going to end up worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا مِن مَوْلُودٍ إِلَّا وَيُلُدْ عَلَى الْفِطْرَةِ. فأبواه يهودانه أو يمجسانه أو ينصرانه. You know, he says everyone comes to this life upon the fitra. Fitra is there. Since that time we upon the fitra, we've been told Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we will not worship anyone other than you. I think these people need us. It's gone completely. So this fitra is there. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not hold us responsible of this fitra. You know? You get it? Yeah. The accountability will be based on what? Salam. The accountability is based on the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Did we get it or not? Yeah? That's the message which the Rasul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conveyed to us. How did we react to it? This is when the accountability will take place. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask everyone about this. And the only one that will have something to say is somebody who never received any message from Allah. Nobody ever told him about Allah. Nobody ever told him about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What do we call these ones? Ahlu al-fatra. And these are the people who lived when? After Isa alayhi salam. Yeah? And unfortunately, before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived, they died. You know that period of time, the religion is corrupt, right? It's corrupted by the people. So Ahlul Fatra, they are the people who lived in the time of, in the time after Isa alayhi salam, and they did not manage to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the religion was distorted, was corrupted. You don't find the correct religion easily. And Salman al-Farisi is just ilham from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and tawfiq from Allah that he thinks of making a search. You get it? And look at the journey, you know. Whenever he finished with a sheikh, the sheikh will tell him, I don't remember anyone who is upon this way on earth except one person. And the whole dunya, he can only remember one person who is doing the correct thing. So you can understand why the accountability at that time is at the minimum for those who did not receive a message. Because those who got the message, they have to search and make sure that they are following the correct one. However, those who did not receive any message, they are called Ahlul Fatra. Can we find Ahlul Fatra also today? Yes. Very difficult, but possible. Yeah? Those people who never know anything about Islam, they're also Ahlul Fatra. That's why the Fatra is defined as a period of, not a period of time itself, but as the nature of a person who did not receive a message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We call him Sahibu Fatra. Yeah, these are the ones that will protest on the Day of Judgment and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on what base they will be punished. Wallahu huwa al-adl. Right? That's where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take from them al-mawathiq and tell them, if I ask you to do something, would you do? They will say yes. And then, subhanAllah, when he commanded them to do, some of them will comply and others, they will stop and ask why. Because when they see hell, they see how tragic is the place, then they will stop and say why. This story is good to remember it a lot and to read it, yeah? Because we still have some people who don't do what Allah say and what Allah asked them to do, unless if the wisdom is being explained to them. Yeah, this is very dangerous. You ask wisdom when Ibrahim tells you to do something from his own opinion. Ahmad, Kareem, you know, anyone who asks you to do, you ask for wisdom. But when Allah asks you to do, you will not do until you know the wisdom. You will get yourself into trouble. And Allah doesn't need us. You don't want to do it, you just go. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. This is Rabbul Alameen. You want to do, you don't want to do, just go. You will come back. Wallahi, this system is very nice. No matter how much far you go, you run away from him, you will come back one day. You will come back. Go wherever you go. You come back and cry. And come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, one day in regret. Alhamdulillah, if that coming back happened when you are still alive. Otherwise, some people, they'll come back in a time which is too late. Yeah. Nothing to be done. They're gone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq. So this is mercy from Allah, that promise Allah would not hold us responsible of it, because we forgot, you know. However, after receiving the message from the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you don't react positively, then you will be held accountable of that, you know. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq. So he says, الَّذِينَ يَنْقُذُونَ عَهْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مِيثَاقِهِ وَيَقْطَعُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَنْ يُوصَلَ وَيُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ أُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. So this ayah is giving us the description of the munafiqeen, right? You know, al-munafiqeen and also al-kuffar, from the munafiqeen and the normal kuffar also, sifat al-kuffar. So these are the ones that are going against the promise. They promise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is this promise? The first opinion, which is the closest opinion, they said this is the wasiyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his creation, that they should worship him without associating partner with him, and also to stay away from things which he doesn't like. So he sent messengers, rusul, with this message to us. Yeah. So this is the wasiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَقَدْ وَصَيْنَا الَّذِينَ أُوتِي الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ أَنِ اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. Right? So this is the ahd, the covenant between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you have the munafiqeen and the kuffar. What do? They go against this. نَقْضُ الْعَهْد means to breach the contract. Yeah, to go against the agreement. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَمَنْ يَعْلَمُ أَنَّمَا أُنزِلْ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ الْحَقُّ كَمَنْ هُوَ أَعْمَى إِنَّمَا يَتَذَكَّرْ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. Until the end of the ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ يَنْقُذُونَ عَهْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مِيثَاقِهِ. Mentioned the sifat of the kuffar. He says one of the attitude is that they break that promise between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You get it? Some scholars said this one is just referring to the munafiqeen. Some of them said, no, all the kuffar and the munafiqeen and Ahl al-Shirk. So the ayah is general. It includes anyone who stays away from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala agreed, you know, any agreement between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the first one is the agreement between us and Allah that we will be worshipping him alone without associating partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قال الذين ينقضون عهد الله من بعد ميثاقه ويقطعون ما أمر الله به أن يوصل ويفسدون في الأرض. And they also break the ties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded people to connect. Here Allah is referring to Silatu al-Rahim. You know, Silatu al-Rahim. Al-Rahim is one of the most important things for a person to do. Now, is there any one of you who wants to live a longer life? You want to live a longer life? Sure. You want money? No zuhud in life? So, ma qalla wa kafa. Don't you think nowadays you already have ma qalla wa kafa? Oh, ma kafa. Anyway, I'm just kidding. Allah grant you good risk and halal risk. And a lot of risk, but that is halal that will help you to please him properly. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man arada an yubsata lahu fi rizqihi wa yunsa'a lahu fi umurihi falyasil rahimahu. He says, whoever wants Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him extension of life and age, and also to increase his risk, he should do the silatul rahim. You Allah, do the silatul rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you a lot. Your age will have value, your life will have value, and also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase you in risk. Yeah, the one who observes Silatul Rahim will never lose. Allah will grant him a lot, abundance, and also at the same time, he will be giving him more life than the rest. But basically what happens is that the barakah will be placed in his life, you know. As for the how many years he's going to be spending on earth, this one is already fixed. So Ibn al-Qayyim says, what happened is, the time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is writing the decree, okay, I want you to focus here so that you will not have ishkal in the future, inshallah. The time the decree was written by the pen, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded it to do. So the pen is writing two things here. Okay. Hamad, just a random example. Then go and say, Ibrahim wished me to die, you know. Yeah. The pen will write, Hamad will live 600 years. Enough? Yeah. 600 years. But because he will be, you know, doing the Silat al-Rahim, this age has been extended to 800 years. So the pen wrote the first decree, and then because Hamad is going to exist and do the Silat al-Rahim, the age has been increased to 800 years. And he wrote also. The same time, wrote this and wrote this. Hamad is born. Which decree will take place among the two? The second one. If you look at the second one, yeah, if you look at the second one, you will say, the Silat al-Rahim changed the Qadr. Which Qadr is changes? The first one. But the second one has to take place. Which is the one written by the angels when you are in the womb, you know, كَتْبُ رِزْكِهِ وَأَجَلِهِ that one, the second one. Do you get it? And now, if you look at this, you will say, yeah, this one changes. And that's how you should reconcile between these ahadith that are saying that there is something that has the capacity to change the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا يَرُدُّ الْقَدَرَ إِلَّا الدُّعَى. Nothing, you know, stop the qadr except dua. Dua stop the qadr. Allah says when he decide, nothing can stop this qadr. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and we're pretty sure this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that nothing stopped the qadr from from happening except dua. So how does that happen? Ibn Qayyim said it happened in this way. Both the dua and the qadr are written at the same time. The same time. You get it? It's not that, okay, Hamad is going to live for 600 years. Okay, then he's so kind to his father, so kind to his mother, so kind to his sister. You know, and then Hamad, because of this, the age increased to 800. Next day also he went and visited his grandmother, another 200. Next time also he visited his uncle, another 200. When do you finish? The day of judgment will happen, he is still moving forward. Yeah, it's not like that. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already decreed everything. The dua itself and the Silat al-Rahim itself, every single thing has been documented, written by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it will never change. So the second qadr will take place, not the first one. Is that clear, inshaAllah? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever wants Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant him extension in rizq, an expansion in the age, yeah? So what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does, according to the scholars, and this is the opinion that I found the best opinion, inshaAllah, the age is increased physically and also spiritually. Physically in the time when the pen is writing, it's not now, already it increased. Yeah? Because of what Allah knows that you're going to be engaging in it, so it's already written like that. Because Allah knows that this person is going to do this, so he wrote it. Because the knowledge of Allah cannot be wrong. If Allah says, Hamman is going to do this, aqsimu billah, there is no way for him except that he is going to do it. I know. No matter how much you try, you have to do it. I remember a story narrated by one of our scholars about a shair. This one is very beautiful. This shair, he said in his shair, you know shair, right? Poem, poetry. He said in his shair, he says, wa inna rizqi, my risk. إذا طلبته عناني تطلبه. When I look for it, sometimes I get into trouble looking for my risk. He said, sometimes I get into trouble because of looking for the risk. Time, what to do? He says, sometimes وإن قعدت في بيتي أتاني رزقي. I stay home and the risk will come to me. Do you get up to this moment? SubhanAllah, wallahi, this story, if it is true, it is one of the stories of the past, you know. It really has amazing things in it. So, this shair, you know, shu'ara, usually they go to the leaders, the khulafa, they make shair for them, they get some money, right? So Shu'ara went to visit the Khalifa. You know, the past Khulafa, also scholars, they memorize these things. So when he saw this Sha'ir, he remembered him. He said, oh, aren't you so and so and so? He said, yes. He said, I am the one. He said, oh, if you are the one, why are you here? Didn't you say in your share, if you look for risk, you get into trouble? And you stay home, the risk will come and meet you. Why don't you stay home? Why do you come here? You know, they are here for what? Some cash from the authority, right? So the Khalifa was blaming him badly. This is so embarrassing. He said, why are you here? In front of others, he told him this. This Sha'ir said, he says, sir, wallahi, thank you very much. You reminded me something that I forgot. So he left. You get what the Khalifa, you got what the Khalifa told him, right? He says, you said in your poetry that my risk sometimes when I look for it, I get into trouble. And when I stay home, the risk come to me. He said, how come you are the one who said this and we see you here looking for the risk? Why don't you stay home to see whether the risk will come to you or not? So he said, sir, you reminded me about what I said, which I forgot. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. He left back home. Izzun nafs. When he left, you know, he's not living with the Khalifa. He's in another village, you know. So he left back to his village. Somebody went to the Khalifa. Say, sir, you know, these shu'ara, these poets, if he makes shi'r against you, you can never delete this shi'r. And he's going to get you into trouble. The Khalifa said, yeah, definitely. We did not do the right thing. This guy, when he talk against us, he might provoke the whole community against us. Because people respect shu'ara sometimes even more than the leaders. Because they see them as hukama, people that you can consult to guide you. So the Khalifa said, yes. And then he asked that advisor, what to do? He says, the only way that left for us is to send somebody to follow him. But try his best not to let him reach home. SubhanAllah. That guy was rushing. The Khalifa get somebody, he says, run to him. Do not let him reach his house. Give him the thing before the house. SubhanAllah, Qadr. The guy was rushing. By the time he reached, the Sha'ir already reached home. He just sat down, and then the door was knocked. Who are you? He says, I'm so-and-so-and-so person from the Khalifa. He said, oh, what happened? Khair. He said, no, the Khalifa says, I should give you this. So the Sha'ir said, please go to Khalifa and tell him, when I was with him looking for my risk, I got into trouble. But when I reached back home, he said, my risk came back to me, SubhanAllah. You Allah, this is aqdar. If you understand them correctly, I'm telling you, you will live. One of them was talking about a person who is, found this story very interesting because it gives hope and help a Muslim to relax, that your risk, nobody can take it. But SubhanAllah, how many people are thinking about this? Little, yeah. Our life, when we begin with tasha'u. Right? During the marriages nowadays, the new thing is, if you divorce, you have to promise that you're going to pay this amount of money. Yeah, Rajul, this is just, the marriage did not even happen. You know, the guy just stretched his hand to say, Qabilt. He started sending all of these weapons on his into his head, you know. Why can't you be optimistic, you know? Pray for them to live forever. What is money? You Allah, this kind of life is useless type of life. You are giving your daughter to somebody and then all what you're thinking is how much money she will get. What is this? And what does money do to her? You Allah, seriously, what does money do to her in comparison to what she will get of comfort, you know, and being in a state of peace in that marriage if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them. Yeah, so this person was having his shop in a very hidden place and somebody visited him among his friends. He told him, what are you doing here? The end of the market and also in a hidden place. He said, yeah, what's wrong with that? He said, no, why can't you just go out? He said, this is the extent of my ability. I can't get any other place. This is the place I got. So, why can't you wait? He said, no. I want to continue here. But if you are here, who will come and buy from you? So he asked him a question. He says, oh, that's how you think. But I have a question also to you before I answer yours. You know, he says, you know, death. He said, yes. He said, if I'm here, death, is it going to come to me? He said, yes. He said, فَكَذَلِكَ رِزْكِ, my risk also. You know, subhanAllah, it's so amazing. The same time the angel is writing how much you spent here, the same time also he's writing how much risk you will get. Yeah. Nothing will be missed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُوَعَدُونَ وَلَكِنَّنَا نَسْتَعَجِدْ. You Allah, nostalgic. We always crumble. Yeah, we cry a lot. We forgot that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists. We submit very quickly. You know. So this is something that's very unfortunate that nowadays you rarely find somebody. I'm talking about the Muslims and the Shabab and the student of knowledge. Rarely find somebody who is upon this nature. A simple test will hit us, we crumble a lot. So your success and your comfort lies in this. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you expansion in age, what does expansion mean? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala physically added from the first, right? And also spiritually. And actually, this one, the second one, is better than the first one. You know. How? Because, you know, sometimes you want to do something and realistically you need 1 year to finish. If Allah put barakah in your life, trust me, you will be able to finish it within 1 or 2 months. Nobody will believe that it is done. Yeah, it is done. Perfectly done. With no cheating, no deficiency, perfectly be done. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you, you know, the age is there. So it's like you are living for 1,000 years. Yeah, because what somebody need to stay for 1,000 years to accomplish, you are doing that in a few years. That's more important than having long life, but the barakah has been removed. You get it? You see the people in the past, they were like that. Look at Imam al-Nawawi, how old was he? 40, 42. Yeah, go and see the kind of library Imam al-Nawawi left for us. You can see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put barakah in that time. When did he study? 40 years, you know, when did he study to keep that huge legacy for the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Yeah, many of them are like that. Abu Walid al-Baji, you know, at the age of 24, but that huge amount of knowledge is there, 24 only. Look at people at the age of 24. They do not even start opening their eyes, right? That one at the age of 24, great scholars cannot stand debating him because of huge amount of knowledge he has. Then you can imagine how much this person knows, you know, the value of his time. Ya Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, well, asr. Yeah, we just take it as a joke, but this is something, you know, subhanAllah, that is so big in our life. Time. Yeah. In the past, they don't understand wasting time. Yeah. Shatibi says, Ya dhayat al-a'mar tamshi sabah lala. We waste a lot of time. And we are still wasting time doing unnecessary things. So I am more concerned about the Muslims and especially the student of knowledge, right? Yeah. And you are here, we live for how long? 4 years minimum. Yeah. Just sit down, for those of you who finish, unfortunately, sit down and think about how did you use these 4 years? Negligent. Yeah? The rules of Akhirah, actually they are. Alhamdulillah, now awareness has started coming back, but people are not ready for this. Yeah. And this is the new life we are facing. People are not having interest in Sharia knowledge. That's why in primary school, I'm sorry, what is the next level after primary? Secondary school. In the exams, you know, wallah, in some schools, you will see the Islamic studies. Who sits for Islamic studies? Nobody. Yeah. I remember in the school, I think my daughters, they told me they're the only one in the Islamic studies examination. Where are the rest? Another place also, people are doing exams, also they're the only ones in the Islamic studies and Arabic. Parents are not interested in this. We're interested in the dunya. So we claim that we don't have time, and also the little time we claim we have, we spend it in the dunya matters. Islam doesn't have a portion for it. Do the right thing. Manage your time properly. Yawallah. I will share with you some secret. I know it might be very difficult for you to understand, but this is true. This is my personal belief. I attend classes in the Masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I go to the houses of scholars that I can find, you know, to go and learn from time to time. You know, extra classes apart from the university classes. And the university classes in those days, subhanAllah, it's terrible in terms of quantity. It's huge. And you have to almost memorize everything for you to pass. I cannot remember the time when I ever canceled any extra class because of the examination. I told myself, oh, but why are we canceling classes if I can still maintain the same thing I'm getting after the exams? The same thing, never good. And all of my extra classes are there. I attend all the classes. So I always tell myself, oh, we're just wasting time. We're just thinking in the wrong way. I can combine both and it works. In many places, when the exams comes, the scholars, they will stop the extra classes because students need to focus. But let's be honest to ourselves. Who is busy using that time of the class to go and study? Trust me, only a few, if you find one. We revise when? The night before the exams. Go and see the students also. You know, you guys are all that on that page, you know. Go and see the students, and if the exam comes, everyone is there next to the exam hall, Nazalat alayhi sakina. The most important time that we focus is when, and you come and say salam, some people might not know that you pass, for sure, on the papers. Yeah. What happened for, how many months we have in the semester? Four or five months, right? What happened? What were you doing in those? Yeah, so that's why it's important for a person to understand this verse, wal asr. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by the time. You Allah. It's the most important thing you have is your time. You waste it, you will regret. You know, every single second that passes in your life is your age moving. Your time going is part of you going, like that. This is what the Salaf al-Saleh told us, and this is the absolute truth. Yeah, so the wise and the smart person is somebody who utilizes his time properly. So if you Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do the right thing, then Allah will put barakah in your time. You know, in the way you will be able to accomplish your mission, attain success in whatever you plan to do in a very short period of time, and you will do it perfectly, accurately, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on your side. You know, how do I get this? Be good to your relatives. Be good to your family members. The first one that deserve your good behavior and manners is who? Your parents. You know, number one. And they have nobody to contradict their right. No one. Your wife, your husband, of course the husband has right more on the wife more than the parent. But she can't disrespect her parent because of him. Cannot. Yeah, of course, if they call her and the husband says no, the answer is no in the eyes of the Sharia. But at the same time, she has to talk to them in the nice way, the kind way. If she is to be harsh to them, she will get into trouble. He will also get into trouble. Yeah, but as far as rights is concerned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him right more than the right of the parent. So they have right more than anybody else amongst the human being. تَبَّلْ لِهَاُولَئِ النَّاسِ. Those people who favor their wives over their parents. You know, he will like تَبَّلْ لَهُ. His mother will suffer because of his wife. And I'm referring to those parent who are honest and good, not the parent who are cheaters and deceivers, because there are parents also who are wicked. The wife did not do anything. Right, did you ever hear about that? A lot, actually. The wife did not do anything, but just the mother doesn't want to come along with her. She put her into trouble. Yeah, you Allah. This one has to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because Allah watches. And she's putting her son in this difficult situation. I know people who, you know, have themselves into a very difficult situation. How to make a choice? To choose his wife? And he knows that his wife is very innocent. You Allah. There are some people, I can say, I know that they are very innocent. And the mothers are none other than criminals. But the son is in the middle. What can he do to resolve this problem? To side with his wife? Issue with the mother. To side with the mother, issue with the wife. What can he do? In this type of circumstances, if Allah wants to test a person to live like that, I will advise him to side with his wife in the rule and go and side with the mother next to her and advise her wisely. But he should side with the wife from his heart. This is my mother, and I will try my best to make sure that injustice is not being placed on you. And I'm with you 100%. I know you did not do anything. He has to tell her this. Otherwise, he can't blame her. Saying something that the mother is being like this, and then he is siding with the mother in her presence. What does he want her to do? How does he want her to live? You know, I'm saying this because there are some people who know that the mother is doing unfair and committing injustice against the wife, and they still side with the mother in the presence of the wife. So she's there having the fire and also fire with the husband. No, this is wrong. That's why, if it is possible, do not stay in the same vicinity and territory with your parent. I know some of the culture cannot tolerate other than this. Yeah, but somebody has to work and change this culture. I'm pretty sure the vast majority of the questions I get from that region is all complaint. Yeah. Complain. The mothers having clashes with the wife. I don't know why the community is still sticking with this, to this culture. You Allah, what is the point of sticking? You force your child to live next to you, and you're not going to be patient with his family. Do you get what I'm saying? So that's why, at the first place, get a house next to your parent. Khalas, everyone has his own territory. You and your wife visit them every day and go and serve them and help them, but not in the same place, because usually being in the same place, in those areas, at least that I know, it causes a lot of problems. So you have to fight for this right. Although they might not be happy, but it is good for them. It is better for them. No. So you have to tell them, actually, yes, I'm not avoiding staying, but I'm avoiding actually having clashes in the future. I don't know what shaitan is going to be bringing. And you are my parent. I cannot stand against you. Yeah, so to avoid this, I decided just to stay nearby, and I'm going to be with you every day. Don't worry. And sometimes also they force everyone to come and stay. Your siblings also will come and stay. Yeah. And then your wife is there. If she's decent, how is she going to live? In her house, wearing niqab, wearing hijab inside the house. Every time. Why? Because his siblings are there. And when you talk, the family will tell you, oh, you think your siblings are bad, they're looking at your wife, you know. What kind of criticism and accusation is this? You think we have nothing to do except to look at your wife? What should be the answer? Yes. I'm just being a character, but sometimes you should tell them yes, you know. And Islamically, is it right? No, it's wrong. It's wrong. Yeah. I know it's very difficult, but there has to be compromise sometimes, sacrifice sometimes. The first one start, he will get into trouble, but inshallah, the next generation will enjoy life. Idhillah. So parents have big right, but you cannot side with your parent to commit injustice against anyone. You get it? Yeah, they have a right. That's why when they ask you to disobey Allah, you don't. You tell them in a nice way, a kind way, that this is against the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will not do. Explain to them that your wife did not do anything. They insist that she did. That's why the scholar said, if your parent asks you to divorce your wife and your wife doesn't have any problem, would you? You shouldn't. Yeah. Somebody says to Imam Ahmad, if my father asked me to divorce my wife, should I? He said, no. He said, but Sheikh Abdullah ibn Omar, his father forced him to divorce his wife, and the Prophet ﷺ said, divorce. So Imam Ahmad said, yeah, you are right. If your father is like Umar, then you have to divorce your wife. The case was closed because he knows his father cannot come closer to Umar. Yeah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to justice is nice, wallahi. Justice is nice with everyone. So parents, they have the first right over you. Right? And then, who is the next? Your immediate family. Immediate family. Your wife and your children. I'm sorry, after your siblings. Your siblings comes also the next. Yeah. Those ones, they are the most important. Actually, sometimes in terms of support, your siblings are better than your kids. You rarely hear about siblings wishing the death of somebody amongst their siblings. But how many times the kids want the father to move so that they can get more money? A lot. How many times the father needs the support and the kids complain? A lot. He's taking everything. He's taking, she's taking, you know. Tabballahum Allah. Somebody who complained against his father taking his wealth, wallahi tabballahum. Allah guide them. Or his mother takes some part of his wealth and he complained. Wallahi tabballahum. What can you do to compensate them? Nothing. And when they take your money, you Allah, if you happen to give everything you own in this dunya to your mother, you do nothing. You Allah. You did nothing. Your mother says, I need this money. You take everything you have and give it to her. Don't you ever think that you start using the path of compensating her? Not a single breathing she produced when she was giving birth to you. That one is not being compensated yet. And you can't compensate her. The same goes to your father. So give them whatever they want and don't worry. Who is the provider? Rabbul Alameen. You know. So I was saying sometimes your siblings, you know, subhanAllah, they are so very important to your life because these ones, they always worry about your worries. These are the siblings. You get it? Yeah. That's why even the Arab, they make some jokes. You remember the joke? They said siblings, they are better than the children. They said even naturally you also believe in that. You know what they said? When you are sick, okay? When you are sick and the pain is so strong, what do you say? What kind of sound do you produce? Ah, in Arabic? You don't say Ibn. They say Ah means brother, you know. And for sure, a person is not thinking about that, but they're just trying to tell you how much important this person, you know, is to you. Allah understand. So all of your relatives, and then your immediate family, yeah, they deserve your kindness and your good relationship. When you do that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put barakah in your life and your risk also, you know, to give you in abundance, much more better than what you're looking for. You will, therefore, I really advise you, spend on your family whenever they need you. Don't be stingy. Yeah? Your mother, your father needs something, just give. Close your eyes and give. And be happy with giving. Allah SWT will replace it for you, inshallah. You will never regret by supporting your father, your mother, your family members, you know. And subhanAllah, kama tadinu tudan. What you did for your family, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, will give you somebody from your children who will do better than what you did for your parent. So this is silatul rahim. And going against the silatul rahim is a means that invite the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَهَلْ عَسَيْتُمْ إِن تَوَلَّيْتُمْ أَن تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَتُقَطِّئُوا أَرْحَامَكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what do you think if you turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you go and do fasad fil ard and cut off the ties between you and your relatives. Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهِ. You say, these are the ones that Allah curse. فَأَصَمَّهُمْ وَأَعْمَى أَبْصَارَهُمْ. You know what is curse, right? To be taken away from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You get it? So if a person is not doing the silat al-rahim, he might be cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa ya'udhu billah. You know the rahim, the womb? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created rahim, it refused to leave the place. It stopped and hang, you know, on the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to it, Maliki, what's wrong with you? Why can't you go? So it says, Ya Allah, no. I would not leave this place until you promise me something. What is that? It says to Allah, Ya Allah, I want you to promise me that you will disconnect yourself from anyone who is cutting off the ties between him and his relatives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we give you that. Subhanallah. Wallahu la yukhlifu al-mi'ad. Allah, when He promised, He doesn't break His promise. Yeah. That's why you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be on your side. Make sure that you are observing the Silat al-Rahim. And this observing of the Silat al-Rahim should be done even against, even towards those people who hate you among the relatives. The poet says, وَكُنْ وَاصِلَ الْأَرْحَامِ حَتَّى لِكَ شَحِنْ. Do the Silat al-Rahim even to somebody who really hates you so much. Do the Silat al-Rahim. You shouldn't hate. You should be kind, you should be good to all of your relatives. And don't do it in the way we're doing. Mazin is my relative from Adam Taba'an, alayhi salam. Mazin is my relative. I visit him when he visits me. I don't visit him when he doesn't visit me. In most instances, we do like that. He's coming to me, so I'm also going. No, we should do it like those in the village. Yeah, in the village, you have good life. You see a person coming all the way from the kampung to the city with chicken and some eggs and some corn, you know, some wheat, you know. He will come and meet his relative, and this relative might be too far. The relationship is too far. But he doesn't want this tie to be cut off. He will come and give it to him just to say salam. We just want to come and make sure that you're feeling okay. You're fine. Yeah. Whereas we, it will not be easy for us to go and meet them in their own territories. Yeah. Anyway, so there are a lot to say about this Silat al-Rahim. As I said, it's one of the best means for you to get the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of rizq and also barakah in your age. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq and be with us wherever we are. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ يَنْقُذُونَ عَهْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مِيثَاقِهِ وَيَقْطَعُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَنْ يُوصَلَ وَيُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. So these kuffar and the non-believers and the munafiqeen, one of their behaviors is that they cut off the ties between them and their relatives. وَيُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. And they always engage in corruption on the earth, doing the bad thing, corrupting the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. If you want to see the real losers, these are the real losers. Right? The one who disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and cut off the ties between him and his relatives. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. These are the real losers. SubhanAllah, in the Western community, you don't have this Silat al-Rahim that much, you know. You know, a child, to a certain extent, he's on his own. You know? His life. That's why life exists in the Muslim territories. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ability to see this. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا فَأَحْيَاكُمْ ثُمَّ يُمِيتُكُمْ ثُمَّ يُحْيِيكُمْ ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. So this ayah and the one that comes after that, inshallah, I will delay it for the next others. Allah grant us good and tawfiq and be with all of us wherever we are. إنه بكل جميل كفيل سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. اللهم لك الحمد. السلام
عليكم شيخ.
السلام عليكم.
If one of our relatives cuts ties with us, is it incumbent on us to still try to reach out with
them? You know. You try to go to him, try to visit him, try to call him, and try to be good, to look for his need and solve his need. You know, and whenever he needs you, stretch your hand and show him support. You know, don't worry about the reaction. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always make you better, and he is going to regret. I know a person, you know, who suffers so much from his relatives, but he was always good to them. You know, always good to them. But subhanAllah, right now that I'm telling you, you know, many of these relatives pass away, but they have respect to him more than anybody else in the family. Although in terms of age, younger, but everyone in the family, no matter how old is he, when they see him, they see a very respectable person. Yeah, but if you compare the past, the only thing they did not do is to kill him. suffers so much. But then at the end of the day, he became the leader in the family and everyone respects him. So this is how it is. Just maximize your patience and be good to them. They are bad, you be good to them. You're not going to lose anything. Allah is always on your side, you know.
Sheikh, for Talib al-Ilm, who's still learning the foundations of everything, is it of any significant importance to learn the things like the nature of Qadr or whether heaven was created, like sort of these like philosophical things? Is it better to just accept it as it is and memorize hadith and such?
It depends on what you're talking about. If you're talking about the Qadr itself, in general, going deep in Qadr is wrong. It's very dangerous, actually. Not only wrong, but it's very dangerous.
But
Adam, studying about the nature of Qadr, how does it work? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed everything. In this life, whatever I see, it is planned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and no coincidence. You see, you are asking me, right? It's already been planned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will ask me, and I will answer you, and I will tell you, sabar. You know, all of these things are there in the Lawh al-Mahfuz. If you can have access, everything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ma faratna fil kitab min shay. Every single tiny detail is there. Things that you don't even know. Things that you don't know you're doing them. It is there, written by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person is learning this part that says, whatever misses me will not happen to me. Whatever happened to me will never miss me. You get the idea? This one is good for us to know. We should know. Mm. Otherwise, we will never relax in this dunya. We try to chase and fight the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You get it? Knowing that qadr is the sirrullahi fi khalqi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written everything that is taking place. Whoever is going to Jannah, Allah knows this person. Whoever is going to hell, Allah knows. Not to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take them to Jannah by force, they don't want to go, or take them to hell by force. No, Allah did not do that. But He knows the choices of each and every one of us. So He wrote the decree according to what He knows we will be choosing. And He knows the knowledge about us which will never be wrong. Allah knows that Fir'aun will never choose paradise. So his name is in hell. Allah knows Abu Jahl will never agree. His name is in hell. Abu Talib, Allah knows that he will never convert to Islam. His name is in hell. Get it? All of these ones, because of the knowledge of Allah which never be wrong, they went to the places where they chose for themselves. Allah doesn't force anyone. It's good to know all of these things so that a person will relax, will understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just. Otherwise, there are some people who deny the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They produce useless aqaid. Do you know that is aqidah? That believe that Adam, you are here, right? Do you know that according to that batil aqidah, Allah did not know that you will be coming to this place until the time you come, then He knows. I remember I was teaching this one of the tafla girl, very young. She said, she was playing, but when she hear this part, she said, what? I said, subhanAllah, look at the fitrah, you know. When she hears that Allah doesn't know until the time you do, then He knows. And this little tiny girl look at me and say, what? No. And that's the fitrah. But you have some people who believe in this. Yeah? And you know why they believe in this? Because of the qadr. They are called, actually, their name is Qadariya, actually. These guys, they don't agree that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the knowledge about what we're doing. He only knows what we choose to do after we do it. A'udhu billah. I don't know which Allah are they talking about. And you have, on the contrary, another one who believes that actually we have no control over ourselves. Yeah. Now you see, you hold the mic, right? That's Jabriya. You know, to them, this holding of the mic that you are holding, you also don't know how and why. Who brought you to this place? You brought yourself, right? To them, no, you're not. You just found yourself in this masjid. There is somebody who is worshipping idol, you cannot blame him. He just found himself worshipping idol. The one who drinks wine, like that. SubhanAllah, imagine if we accept this. Who can control the situation? It means somebody can just take a gun and shoot one person, and then when we tell him, why did you do that? He said, no, I don't know, I'm doing that. My hand just went to him and shot him. We should be smarter than him. Take the gun, also shoot him. We tell him, we're sorry. We did not know that we're going to shoot you. Government cannot control the situation. That's why nothing left for human beings that can save our life except a correct belief in the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to the aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. There is a surface, a level of knowledge that everyone should know. Going deeper is dangerous. What is it that we have to know? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala planned for everything, wrote everything, decreed everything. Everything that is taking place in this life is not coincidentally happening. It's happening based on the qadr. Allah says, "Inna kulla shayin khalaqnahu bi qadr." And I know that what happened to me, this is written, and there is no way for me to avoid it. And what misses me, this is not written for me, and there is no way for me to get it. So I observe patience. And at the same time, I believe that qadr is the secret of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His creation. So what is my job? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اعملوا فكل ميسر لما خلق له. Your job, my job, their job, our job is just to be busy with the act of worship. Allah says, worship me, just be busy with that. His affairs, you leave it. Otherwise, trust me, Adam, you're going to have a lot of problem in this life because there are things which are there, you cannot have explanation to them. Explanation is there, but our capacity cannot accept it. Mental capacity cannot comprehend. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us just to watch and keep quiet. Allah never played and He never did something without wisdom, without hikmah. You know, Musa alayhi salam, when he got that boy, what did he do to the boy? Twist his head Khidr. Twist the head of the boy. The boy below the age of maturity, you know, he cut the head and threw it away. Who will accept this?
No.
Nobody. That's why Musa forgot that he promised him, "I will never talk when I see you doing something." But when he sees this, there is no way for him to keep quiet. Did he talk? Yes. He showed his rejection. You know? And just now he told Khidr, "I will never ask you again. Don't worry. This is the first one. It was a mistake, you know." But this one was not a mistake. He knows that he's doing that. The first one was a mistake, but this one was not. Hadith of the Prophet ﷺ told us that this one was not a mistake, but it's something that he cannot keep quiet. Because according to his Sharia, this is wrong. No Sharia will accept this. You get it? So, when he talked to Khidr, Khidr told him what? أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكَ إِنَّكَ لَنْ تَسْتَطِعَ مَعِيَ صَبْرًا. You know, even the answer he gave him, no explanation. He just told him, didn't I tell you at the first place that you cannot be patient? You insist that you have to follow me. And you told me you can be patient. And now in everything I did, you question. He said, didn't I tell you that you cannot be patient? Musa told him, إِن سَأَلْتُكَ عَنْ شَيْءٍ بَعْدْهَا فَلَا تُصَحِّبْنِ. He said, if I ask you another thing after this, then please don't let me stay with you. What does that mean? Musa is what? Tired. He wants to go, but in a very political and nice way. You get it? Because he told him, he says, if I ask again, then tell me to go. Expel me from your school. Yeah. This is what the hadith told us. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I wish Musa was patient. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I wish Musa was patient. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I have interest in seeing where exactly are they going to conclude this. This story, where is it going to end? But Musa couldn't be patient. Yeah. And Khidr told him, actually, this very big and valuable information given to all of us, you know, to Musa, but to all of us. He said, وَكَيْفَ تَصْبِرُوا عَلَى مَا لَمْ تُحِطْ بِهِ خُبْرًا. When Khidr told him, you cannot be patient, he said, no, I can't. Khidr said, you cannot be patient. He said, I can be patient. He said, how is it possible for you to be patient of something that you don't have knowledge of? Many times we fight because of what? Ignorance. When the explanation is being given to you, you say, oh, why didn't you tell me from the beginning? Okay, sorry. Yeah, Rajul, why didn't you learn from the beginning? That's why they said, the more patient you are, the more knowledge you have, the more patient you are. You will Allah. That's why it is necessary, fahmun of siyat al-akhari, you know, understanding those whom you live with to know who they are. If you don't know these people and you want to live with them, trust me, your life with them will be very short. But if you understand who they are, you will live very long. That's why you see a person come into a community And this community, you know, I'm not talking about this community, but any community you visit, people will tell him, oh, these people are like this and that. But you will find another person who lived in this community for how long? 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, never complain about this. You go and ask him, do you face problem that I'm facing? He tells you no. And by Allah, no, he doesn't face this problem. You know why? Because he understands the people he's living with. He knows their behavior properly. So he knows how to deal with them. That's why he doesn't get annoyed. He lives with them according to the way they are. I don't want to understand this. I keep on fighting. Why are they doing this? Why are they doing that? Is that clear? This is a very, very, very strong, Surah Al-Kahf, subhanAllah, is full of lessons. And Quran is like that. Quran is like that. Every part of the Quran has this, you know, unbelievable lessons, you know, that every Muslim needs. But unfortunately, we read Quran like we're reading Shi'r, subhanAllah. So Musa told Khidr told Musa at the first place, you cannot be patient. Musa said, I will. He said, no, there is no way for you to be patient of something that you don't have knowledge of. Musa said, don't worry. Just give me your terms and conditions, I will go with them. The first time they start the test, Musa failed. The second test also he failed. The third one also he failed. To prove what Khidr said, how can you be patient of something that you don't have knowledge of? So let's go stop this lecture. Let's go to the reason why I brought this this story. When the boy died, the parent of this baby, do you think they will accept this?
No.
Never. Why? They're also because of ignorance. They don't know. Yeah, they have no knowledge about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Khidr to go and cut the head of the boy? They don't know. And this is their child, right? Of course, they have this huge amount of love to the child, and they will never accept anything negative to him like this. However, after the explanation, would they smile? Yes, although it hurts them, they lost him. But at the same time, they accept the qada of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be happy with the replacement. What was the explanation? First of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَمَّا الْغُلَامُ فَكَانَ أَبَوَاهُ مُؤْمِنِينَ, right? The parents are good, they're believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَخَشِينَ أَن يُرْهِقَهُمَا طُقْيَانًا وَكُفْرًا. This boy, if he grows, he is going to grow as a kafir. The parents really love him so much. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there is a possibility of the boy distracting the parent to change their religion. He goes to hell and they go to hell. Both of them. The boy now died at the age which is below the age of maturity, right? If their sharia is equivalent to our sharia, where does he go?
Jannah
bi'idhnillah azza wa jalla. Which one is better for him? To live and survive and die as a kafir or to die now and go to Jannah? Of course this one. But if explanation is not given to us, how do we know? Is that clear? And on top of all, also what the scholars, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَرَدْنَا أَن يُبْدِلَهُمَا رَبُّهُمَا خَيْرًا مِّنْهُ زَكَاةً وَأَقْرَبَ رُحْمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah wants, Khidr to Musa, he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to replace this boy with the best for the parent. That's why, according to the history, we don't know. This is Israeliyat. Rasulullah said, we listen, we don't reject, and we don't accept, because we're not sure whether it happens or not. But according to the Israeli, the Mufassirun, they talk about this. They said this parent, they got a new baby, and that was a girl. Somebody might say, well, it's a dhakaru kal untha. Right? No, it's not like that. It's not like that. Children are blessed. You don't know who is going to bring barakah to your life. Is it the girl or the boy? This girl, they got a baby girl, right? And they said, according to the history, you know, that this girl, she married a prophet and she gave birth to a prophet. Subhanallah. They lost somebody who will grow as a kafir, and they got somebody, because of that loss, who married a prophet and gave birth to a prophet. Which one is better for them? Of course, this one. But since they don't know, their reaction might be negative. So that's why Qadr, we submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, otherwise I will get into trouble. the child that comes, from the day he was born, this baby is sick. Very terrible disease. If you see him, you cry because of the way you see the baby suffering. If you stop and question Allah, why? When do you get this answer? No answer. Whatever somebody is going to give you, this is just ijtihad. So as a Muslim, what do? I believe that there is a wisdom behind this. Whatever the baby is going through, wallahi, there is a wisdom behind it. If you're going to see it, subhanAllah, you will appreciate seeing it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't promise to show us everything. This is part of the test. As a Muslim, I submit. I know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't joke. Whatever he does, there is a wisdom behind it, so I accept. Whatever he decreed for me, I accept. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed for me to happen, I accept it. So that part of knowledge, Adam, is wajib for a Muslim to know. Actually, you cannot be a true believer until you believe in this, as one of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ said to his son. He said, you cannot be a true believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until you believe that whatever misses you, Allah did not write it for you. And whatever happens to you, you will never escape it. You get it? Other than that, going deeper will get you into trouble. We call it at-tanattu' fi al-deen, al-ghulu, exaggeration in the religion which the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam detested. Get it, Adam? Thank you for forcing me to give another lecture. Okay, any other last word? You don't have the new ones.
We have new ones. Okay, Sheikh, the first question. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh. A sister asks, for Udhiya, we divide portions of a slaughtered cow with another family. So the amount which we pay to the butcher, should the two families share, or is it enough that the family who bought the most portions also pay the butcher in full out of kindness?
That's very okay. You can bring somebody also who is not part of the oath here to pay that. One of them can pay. Somebody else who is not even part to pay, it's okay.
Okay, sir. Next question. Question by Sister Shafa. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh. Is it wrong to prioritize nawafil over rawatib? As in, somebody may not be regular with rawatib, but is trying to be so with tahajjud.
To prioritize
nawafil over rawatib.
Why don't you keep everything in its own position? Because if you're talking about tahajjud, this is the night prayer. Doesn't affect your rawatib. Rawatib, you do them four before dhuhr, two after dhuhr, two after maghrib, two after isha, and two before fajr. And Muslims should try not to miss these prayers if possible. If you can combine it. Yeah. Shouldn't put it, okay, prioritize, I take this or that. It will not be good for us. Yeah. Just look into your condition. Either one you can do, just do it. But don't tell yourself, I'm just prioritizing this and that. Yeah? If you're going to choose the night prayers. But I would choose for a person to pray both, inshallah, whatever he can pray. Allah grant us good.
Okay, Sheikh. Next question is by Sister Murni. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh. Ahsanallahu alaikum fi dinna wal akhirah. What is actually acceptable times of visiting the relatives? Is it based on the urf?
Yeah, based on the custom, based on the custom.
Next question, Sheikh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh. The question is from Rayan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa
barakatuh.
May I know if we can use our udhiya for goat horn and skin? Are we allowed to sell it after treating and preserving it?
The udhiya itself, some part of it to be sold?
Yeah.
I know.
Horn, skin.
We don't. We have to give it for free to somebody. We don't get money from the udhiya with it. And so even jazzar, we don't pay him from the meat itself. Okay. Just give it free.
Okay. So the next part of the question is that, how about someone else's goat's horn and skin? Can we ask for it?
Yeah, this one is okay. You can ask from somebody else, yes. And then you sell. But yours should be given to charity, and yourself, you eat, you give charity. That's it.
Does it have to be gifted? He's asking, does it have to be?
Can give somebody, whoever you want. But your udhiyah should be eaten by you and give some as a gift and charity.
Okay, Sheikh. Next question. Shafa. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh. Sheikh, about Silatul Rahim. I have been juggling a bit whereby I get frequent calls sometimes from blood relatives and I don't know how to keep talking and maintain this, where they expect me to always pick up or call back and talk. It can get a little frustrating also. How can I deal with it without being rude?
Just pick up and talk. How are you? How is everything? And talk to them, make them happy. And if you're busy with something else which is necessary, then inform them in a nice way. Would you mind, I'm about to begin a class. Would you mind if I finish? I will try, then I call you back. If I do not, then inshallah later on we talk. And that's it. I'm trying to finish my assignment. Thank you very much for the call. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you and grant you firdaus. I really appreciate it. If you don't mind, that I have to go back to the assignment because I'm running out of time. Something like that. Kind words.
Yes, Sheikh. Last two questions. Okay, next, Sheikh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh, how can we understand what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam meant by white hair being the nur for a mu'min, thus not plucking it? And the hadith is mentioned as well, where the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, forbid plucking out white hairs, and said, it is the light of the believer.
Where's this hadith? I can't remember the grade of the hadith, but whatever the case might be, it's very clear.
Grade is Hassan.
Okay. Very clear. That a person shouldn't remove it. Okay. That's why he changed the color to henna color or something like that. He doesn't remove it. It's a warning from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also should be a sign of wisdom and kamal for a person. Completeness in the aql should be like that. Yeah, although sometimes the people are unfortunately.
Okay, Sheikh. Last question by Brother Umar Hazik. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh. Hassan Allah alaikum fi dunya wal akhirah. Sheikh, the brother wants to ask that, what is the hukm of adults using cartoons and memes for da'wah?
What is memes?
Joke, but instead of written image, the joke is in the image.
How do I understand joke in the image? I just see an image, then I laugh?
Yes.
No. What kind of life is
it?
No, seriously, there are things like this. I just see an image and then I laugh?
Yes, might be something.
Something will be written
on the... Oh, there is some joke underneath. Ah, oh. Okay. Now you are talking al-sirat al-mustaqim. Otherwise, I would say, what kind of life is this? I just see an image and then I start laughing. The one next to me should say, what happened, Anyway, I don't know what are they, so I might not be able to judge them until I see what exactly they are talking about. And the cartoons they use for dawah, in what sense they use cartoon for dawah?
Joking in general. You shouldn't use it for
that, right?
Jokes.
I don't know. A person can present a topic in a jokey way, but that person understands the message. It's fine. Mm. Yeah, we should be serious. But sometimes there is a way to do things, and it's okay. I realize that this person, if I talk to him, he would never listen. I play a game. I let him understand the message indirectly. They said, you have in my eat. And Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. They saw one old man making wudu. They saw an old man making wudu. And this wudu is a mess. He doesn't do it correctly. And they realized that if they are to talk to this old person, please one second, let me tell this person not to call me again. Okay, this old man, they realize that if they are to tell him, uncle, this prayer is wrong, what would be the reply? We used to pray even before your father and your mother were born. You're the one who teaches us how to make wudu? Who are you? You know? So they realize that definitely to talk to him directly is going to be an issue. What did they do? They played cartoon show. They went, not cartoon, yeah? They went to him. They pretend they are debating. So Ibn Ma'in says to the person, uncle, we are sorry. I am having an issue with my friend. I told him he doesn't know how to make wudu. And he also told me I don't know how to make wudu. So I kept on telling him my wudu is okay. He said no, mine is not okay, his is okay. So, but then alhamdulillah we see you. You are at the age of our grandfather. For sure you know how to make wudu better than us. And I don't agree with him, he doesn't agree with me. But we both agree with you. Please judge who makes wudu better. MashaAllah, now the old man feels so respected, right? He's the mu'allimul wudu. So he told them, okay, children, you do the wudu. Yahya ibn Ma'in made wudu al-sunnah perfectly, with no deficiency. Imam Ahmad also made wudu al-sunnah perfectly, with no deficiency. SubhanAllah, they said, according to that story, before even they finished, that old man smiled. He says, both of you know how to make wudu better than me. Khalas, message reached him. He understood why are they there. Is that clear? So you can use this indirect ways to send a message. There's no problem with that, as long as the message will reach. Yeah, because sometimes you have to do that. Yeah. Not directly to do things. You have to do some jokes. Yeah. Somebody who is doing something wrong, if I tell him, Hamad, fix yourself, what happens? Everyone will be looking at you. And sometimes a person next to you and some part of his body is uncovered, which is supposed to be covered. If you were to tell him in front of people, it would be so embarrassing. And you were also inviting the eyes of everyone. Naturally, people will be looking at him. What must you do? Tell him, come. It looks like we don't shake hands, Hamad. Come. You shake his hand. Yeah, by the time he stands up, everything is fixed. You tell him, okay, thank you very much. You are good. Go back to your seat. Yeah, when he sits down, he's going to sit properly. Case closed. You get it? So you can use any method that is halal. Okay? It's okay. It doesn't go against the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to convey the message. Yeah, but those ones that you're asking, I don't know how they look like. For me to make a judgment, I have to see first for me to be able to talk. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you.